When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Whoop. We're continuing our 25th season celebration, and today I get to talk to one of my favorite people, Nicole Wallace. I met Nicole when she joined the show as a co-host for one season in 2014, and we became friends from that very moment. She was the White House Communications Director to President George W. Bush, and also served as senior advisor to the McCain-Palin campaign in 2008. Since leaving The View, she now anchors her own cable news show, okay? Today, we talk about why we instantly became close friends, what it was like to work with Rosie O'Donnell, and how Nicole really felt about being let go from the show. And now, here's our conversation.
Hi.
Hi. Oh my gosh. There's a whole bunch of... I miss you too. You've gone to a better place. That's how we talk about you. She's gone to a better place.
The Departed?
Well, not The Departed, but you know when someone just, they've just stopped speaking and they've sort of in your mind, but they've disappeared. That's what's happened. And, you know, Rob Bruce asks about you daily. Did you see her show? Did you say... And I wonder, as we're talking about this, you know, what do you miss about The View?
I only miss you. I quoted you yesterday. I don't remember who I was talking about. I said, as Whoopi Goldberg would say, he's a grown-ass man. You know, I mean, you're in my head all the time because you're in my heart all the time, but you're also the smartest political observer I've ever been around. And you said in the summer of 2015, y'all watch out, he's going to be your all's president. And yeah. I've quoted that 547 times. I said, people who know where this country was in 2015 knew he was going to win. Yeah. They knew it. They knew that he was talking to some closeted racism, some closeted misogyny, and they weren't surprised. But what I think is still crazy is that he's gone and this is still who we are.
Well, do you think, in fact, this has always been who we are and we've been able to move it around and shift it around so that it wasn't quite in your face the way it is now? And I mean, it's in your face. It is insane how people feel free enough to say things to you. You know, it's kind of nutty. It's one of the nuttiest things ever because you're stuck thinking, what country is this? You know, and the idea that, you know, what it takes to be an American, what is a good American and what isn't a good American has literally turned itself on its head. You know,
totally. And I think, I mean, to this first question, like, is it who we always were? I think a lot about like set levels, like a diet or diets, and then your body level sets, or, you know, addiction is a disease. And so you can be in remission, but you've always got the disease. Mm-hmm. You know, if this is the set point or if this is the disease, we may have spent time on and off the wagon, but this is the disease. And you know, when we're not in remission, we're really sick. And I think right now we're really sick. And I think what it means to be an American is you're either enabling the disease and the addiction, or you're helping, you know, to sort of keep the addict on the wagon. And I think it's that precarious. And if you live right there on the edge of a knife, mm-hmm. and it's that the stakes are that high, the trauma is that real, and the person has, you know, the country is diseased.
Yeah.
We have these diseases of systemic racism. We have this disease of amnesia of our history. We have this terror of looking in the mirror. And the only way to sort of stay in remission is to sort of stay in the meeting, right? To stay on the right program.
Right.
And I think different leaders have kept us in meeting. They've kept us talking. They've kept us, you know, I'm America and I have a problem. But, you know, we had 4 years of just, you know, mainlining the diseases of our country. And I think that's my best way of processing where we are. We're sick.
Yeah. But, I could talk to you forever. So, but I'm supposed to ask you some questions about your time on The View. And unless you've been under a rock, maybe you've been under a rock. I don't know. I like rocks. But my friend Nicole Wallace, who I met on The View and have never let go of because she's just a genuine person and I love her dearly. And so because we're talking about people's times on The View, she left the show, actually, and her career blew up. It's like, it's amazing. If you have not watched her show, you should. Okay, that's all I'm gonna say about that. Anyway. So you were co-host.
I miss you so much.
You know, we had lots of fun. We had great discussions. We didn't always agree and found a way to never, ever, ever disrespect one another. That to me, you know, is important on a show if you're going to be with people. The show, The View, you know, it's the 25th anniversary. And one of the things everybody listening should know about The View is it's an ensemble show. It's not my show. It's not Joy's show. It is an ensemble show, and we have to find a way to talk to each other because there are five of us. And sometimes we make it, and oftentimes, you know, it gets harder than it needs to be. I will just put it that way. But now the summer before you were hired, we had an audition for new hosts. Do you remember that day?
I'll never forget it. First of all,
tell me.
I was a stay-at-home mommy swimming in the pool. My hair was green. So I went, and I have green hair. I had one interest in, you know, succeeding that day. I had guest appeared, and Jenny McCarthy was there, sweet as could be. Kaylee McEnany was there one day, crazy as could be, bless her heart. But you were there, and I think I guest hosted twice, and it was sort of like when I was 15, I went abroad, and I'm like, you know, Spain, you know, they sleep in the middle of the day, and they eat dinner at 10, and, you know, I love it, and they smoke cigarettes, like, let's do this. But it was foreign, right. And The View was as exotic to me.
Joining us today as guest co-host is the fabulous Nicole Wallace.
Come on, Wallace.
Wow. Thank you so much. I've watched for years. It's such an honor. Thank you.
But I don't really remember much about guest hosting except meeting you. And when they said, do you want to try out? I was like, and see Whoopi Goldberg every day? Yes. And my whole drive to get picked was about being with you and wanting to, I mean, I've said this on TV. I mean, it was like love at first sight with you. And the whole thing was never about more than that for me. And I can't say that I had any sense of what anybody was looking for. I'd been a public spokesperson for decades by the time. They knew exactly what I was.
Right.
They knew exactly where I came from. I am like pathologically adaptive and you know, a mediator at heart. So right. The idea that they felt bamboozled that I wasn't, you know, Hasselbeck 2.0 was always crazy to me. But what I actually don't know that I felt like it should have been an ensemble. And I remember thinking the most wonderful thing was sitting with you. The second most wonderful thing is The View viewer. I mean, that to have your first job in TV in front of The View viewer,
yeah,
is like being held and then, you know, scolded when you screw up. You have
right.
this instant human face that's rooting yeah. for the show, that's deeply connected to your heart. And you have this sense of like what humans react to, what humans connect to. You have a sense that humans are very open. They are not snowflakes. The viewer can handle a debate that goes from here to here. They don't need it right here. They can take it.
Yeah.
And so the idea that like hosts stretched and understood other people's point of views was its strength and was its beauty and was my favorite thing about it.
I think it truly is the best one. It is the best thing about The View is the people who are watching, because they're saying, tell me, I want to hear what you think, and I want to see if I agree or disagree, and then I want to see why.
And if you're not nasty, I'll love you anyway. It's like, I might not agree with you, but I like that you're going to give it to me straight.
Yes.
And, you know, I also was coming out of a professional political life and forming my own views for the first time in my life.
Right.
And so I was very open to all the discussions we had. I'm still the most pop culture ignorant person you'll ever meet. And what makes me laugh is that you all are famous, so people think you know everything else about other famous people. You all didn't know everything either, but I always got tagged for being the pop culture dummy.
That's because people could not say anything else about you. That's the roughest thing they could say. Do you know what I mean? Because they couldn't label you. Except
it's
to so say funny.
It's a
know.
Label that stuck though. Olivia Rodrigo was at the White House, and everyone on my show yesterday is like, you know, Nicole, I know you don't know who she is. I'm like, I know who she is. It's just this piece of, it's funny. It's fine, but it's funny.
So, Rosie O'Donnell left in the middle, left our show in the middle of your season. Did you ever become friends?
So we ran into each other on an airplane. And, you know, she and I have talked about this. We are friends now. She's been on my show a couple times. We ran into each other on a flight to Miami. She was going to, I think, buy the house that she spends a lot of time in now. I think she spends some time in Miami and some time in L.A. now. And I mean, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat this for her. I mean, she scared the bejesus out of me. I mean, I didn't know her, and and she had, you know, she had big feelings, and for some reason, I think there was just some muscle memory to fighting with the Republican, and I made her mad, and I think she had a lot going on in her life. I think she'd say all these same things.
Listen, I don't get why you would
just answer your attack on President Bush and Katrina. Nobody did more to rebuild New Orleans, and I think most people in state and local government in Louisiana, Donna Brazile, let me just finish my sentence.
All right.
A lot of people were very happy with a lot of what got done to rebuild New Orleans. Is a safer city now because of what it went through. And President Bush did everything that everyone of any party and at any level of government said to rebuild the city. So
I did not attack him. I simply stated the fact that he flew over in a plane before he ever went to address the people who were there, and it was a very long time before he showed up. That is a fact, not an attack.
But we did become friends. We were on this flight together. I think anyone on the planet with a kid can relate to Rosie O'Donnell as a mom.
Yeah.
Because I think if you were to map her brain, 99% of it is spent thinking about her kids and trying to help her kids with whatever they're going through. And so, you know, I have a kid, she had kids, and we talked about her kids, we talked about my kid. And we're good. We're good now. But navigating, I mean, you and Rosie Perez were like gifts from God. I mean, Rosie P and I are really close too.
Yeah.
But Rosie O'Donnell was like, I never met anybody like that, and I never figured out how to navigate her during our season.
Me either. You know, me either, you know,
really?
It's just, yeah, you know, because I have one job. I'm supposed to try to keep some peace at the table. And that also means I get to have my opinions and my ideas of what the world is. And the world I grew up in is very different than the world she grew up in. And so I think our biggest issue was, you haven't walked in my shoes. You don't know what I know, and I don't know what you know. You know, but she says I'm the meanest woman she ever met in business. She said it. And I think she doesn't mean it, because she's met a lot meaner, nastier people than me. But I, you know, I've Rosie and I have always gotten on. When we see each other, we say, hey, what's going on? You know, and I will always hug her when I see her. You know, there's no point in being angry at folks or being pissy towards them. It's just not, this is no win. You lose so much ability to map a world together that, you know, what's the point?
I reflected a little bit on what was, because I get along with, Sarah Palin was the only person I ever met that I couldn't get along with. I mean, I get along with everybody. And I think that, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that might have been the wrong moment in her life, the wrong mm-hmm. role on mm-hmm. a TV show.
Yeah.
And maybe the chemistry between the rest of us made her hurt. I mean, I think for Rosie O, the mm-hmm. pain does the talking sometimes is my mm-hmm. observation. My sense, and I'm not super close to her, is that her life is pretty peaceful right now. And so yeah. I've had, connections with her over the politics of the last right, 3 years. Right. And like I said, when we had that flight together about just, the shared pain of being a mama bear.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I bet that's not her feeling about you right now. That'd be my bet.
Well, and even if it is, eventually she'll change her mind. Because she'll actually meet a really man.
Yeah.
No. She'll go, Whoopi wasn't that bad. So it will.
You're the best. You're the best. You're my Whoopi.
I like having the discussions that we have because there are lots of things that I've given no thought to. And then we get on the show and it's something that I'm introduced to and I think, okay, so this is something I have to keep my eye open for because I can help here. I can do something here.
Whoopi, you were right about so much, though. I remember you asking the producers to get you statistics. I mean, you're right about Trump. You were right about the country voting for him. You were also right about domestic terrorism. I remember, it's just you have this intuitive understanding of our politics that I don't know if the view is like the best place for it because you're just ahead of some of these debates. And I remember you saying domestic terrorism is a much greater threat. And I kind of whipped my head around and it was sort of before the statistics or maybe the statistics had caught up, but it was ahead of where the conversation was in our politics. And you are one of the most astute political observers that I have ever been around. And I love you because you're one of my best friends.
This is true.
Woodward and Bernstein, pen and paper, wine and cheese. What about the perfect pairing when it comes to growing your business? That's you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're delivering daily digests or serving sensational scoops, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort, thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. No matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/view, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/view now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/view.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This is according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/view. Just go to Indeed.com/view right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/view. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
How pissed were you when they said, we are not going to renew your contract?
Whoop, they never told me. I mean, here's what was, and I was crushed. I was like, it was like a eighth grade breakup. I was the girl, you know, crying at the dance. I wasn't pissed. I didn't have a counter move. I didn't play any, and I had no idea. I was in the dark. There were people I'd known for years and they just wouldn't level with me. Mm-hmm. And I really did learn about it in Variety. And I think, like any good breakup, you know, like, you know, you get the post breakup, you know, swagger back, you have the thicker skin, but it's never not a rejection. I mean, it's always a very personal rejection from which you try to build back. But I think that the experience was of rejection and a very personal rejection. And I think my, you know, my tried to intellectualize it, you know, how did I end up on the list of things that were hurting the show, not helping the show? I always tried to help the show. I never took a day off. I did everything. But I think it's like a casting. And I really didn't understand that. Yeah. But it's taken me years to understand that it was a casting they didn't like, and that was their prerogative.
I guess it was. And of course, they never talked to us. They never said, oh, by the way, which tended, I think, to happen a lot on that show. They made a lot of decisions without us. And the one that everyone screamed about was losing you. Because you, to us, were the smartest person at the table. And we didn't understand. It was hard to get over. It was hard to get over.
Look,
asked and begged.
Oh, that's so nice. I mean, the first time I'm hearing that, I don't really want to offer any thoughts on what I left, but I will say that what I went to was so special. I mean, NBC and MSNBC like rolled out the red carpets. Yeah. Vanna Guthrie had me on the Today Show, and I was on every day through the election. Phil Griffin offered me my own show on MSNBC. The Today Show offered me an ongoing role. And so I do feel like the breakup analogy might be the right one. You know, I left a relationship that at its foundational level probably wasn't sound. And I went to something really, really supportive and really, really wonderful.
But now, in your news cycle, how are you finding the news today? Is it being done better? Is it being done worse? Are we covering the important things? What are you seeing?
I mean, I'll be totally honest. I've had Liam home for 16 months. I don't watch a ton of news. I've been in third grade from, you know, morning until I go, and I never turn the TVs on.
Right.
So I've not consumed a ton of news. I mean, right. I see my colleagues at night after he goes to bed. So I see Rachel, I see Brian. But I haven't turned the TV on, so I can't offer any. I don't have any sense of what, of how we're doing as a sort of biz. But I will say I may be in the minority and feeling this way. But the story now, I mean, what you and I have not taken a breath of talking about is to me more important in some ways, if more difficult to tell than the Trump presidency, because it's about us.
Yes.
The last 4 years were about him.
Yes.
This is about us. It's, and it's about our neighbors, and it's about divisions, you know, in our communities. And so for me, this story feels more important, more enduring, and the stakes feel higher. So in terms of the story I'm covering the country right now, the insurrection investigation, the rollback of voting rights, for me, this feels like the biggest story I have ever covered in my life. And I'm, you know, I'm moved by the people that come on and sort of are blunt with me. I have no answers. I mean, I have no idea how this is going to end, but I definitely have 2 hours of questions every day. I feel like I won the lottery. I never would have quit The View. You know that I loved it.
Well, we loved you. We loved having you. I miss you deeply, desperately every day, but I am so glad you are where you are, because
I miss you every day.
You know, friendships are very hard to find, I find. Real ones. It's easy to be acquaintances with somebody, but somebody who you can tell stuff to. That's how I feel I am with you. I can tell you anything, call you in the middle of the night and say, hello. You know?
Well, and friendships, I mean, let's be honest, friendships among women are even harder to identify the real ones, I think.
Yeah.
I've never been great at that. And, I think I am sort of, it's instant or it's not, you know, people don't grow on me, you know? I am as drawn to you and as committed to you as I was the first time I met you. And I don't watch a ton of TV, but I look around for everywhere you are and everything you say. And I miss you so much. And I quote you all the time. Grown ass man is my favorite. I use that all the time. He's a grown ass man. He should have known better.
And
I've talked about our debate about whether Trump was a bigger racist or misogynist, because it was sort of the beginning of my realization of just how poisonous he was.
Mm-hmm.
You loom larger than life in my life and in my career. And they're so lucky to have you. You know my feeling about you when you were when your back went out and you were in the hospital and I don't think they wanted me to fill in, but Rosie Perez did one of her, you know, I'm out of here if Nicole doesn't.
Right.
So I ended up helming a couple of those shows.
And God.
I said, we start with Whoopi. And I said, oh, what do you mean? I said, we start with a Whoopi clip. I'm here for Whoopi. So if I work here and I'm here for Whoopi, they're here for Whoopi. We start with Whoopi. And so, you know, you are the heart of that show and you are the guts. And, maybe when you're there, you don't get to say that. I did. But, you know, it is you and you are it. And they're so lucky you're still there.
Well, I'm lucky I still have a job. I'm not going to lie. Because, you know, a couple of, you know, questionable times that I will cop to. But I never had as much fun on the show as I've had when you were there.
We laughed a lot.
And it wasn't like you could tell, but sometimes because I'd be sitting here, I'd look over at Nicole like this.
Well, sometimes it was because Rosie O'Donnell was pissed at us and we just get the giggles.
Yes. Yes.
And then other times, yeah, I mean, you are also the funniest human being to walk this earth. So I miss you. I miss all that.
I tell you, I miss you a lot. And I'm so happy you said yes to this, because this is a big deal, 25 years. And
it's amazing.
And I Barbara Walters, you know, gave this to me on a silver platter and said, I want you to do this. And I've been able to meet presidents and hang out in strange places I've never been before and meet new people and make friends sometimes. But I love you. The audience loved you. And they asked for a good 2.5 years, why? And we said, we don't know, but we can tell you where she is. Yeah.
I got the best advice from Barbara Walters when I got fired. And I've never done this on TV. I'll try this. She called me and she said, is it true you were fired in Variety? And I said, yeah. And she offered to call anyone in the business for me, anyone, and advocate for me. And then she gave me this advice that was so simple but so profound. She said, do your best work from now forward. Do your best work. Look your best and do your best work. And it just became a mantra. I mean, I think people know about Barbara Walters, the legend. I don't know that they know that she's the one that calls you when you've been, you know, sort of kicked to the ground. Yeah. And she's one of the first people to call me and give me some really, really important advice.
Yeah. Yeah. She's the world. She means the world to me. And to, I think, a whole bunch of the women who have done this show know that we're all walking on the shoulders of Barbara Walters. And if anyone said, well, name someone, your name would be the first name out of my lips who's walking on her shoulders, because you're doing what she did. You're telling the truth and you're showing people, and you're not making fun of folks. You're telling the truth, or the truth as you see it, and giving people the opportunity to tell you their truth. That's kind of great. And so I bring this to an end with a heart filled with love for you and for my man, Liam.
He loves you and I love you and I miss you, and to be continued. Congratulations on your run at The View. You know how I feel about you being its beating heart. They're so lucky you're there.
Love you, baby. Next week on Behind the Table, Sarah Haynes talks to Raven Simone and Candace Cameron Bure about their time on The View.
So they had told me, we're going so much lighter, a lot more would be evergreen. We're actually only going to do 4 days a week live. The fifth day is going to be a pre-tape because they're evergreen topics. We want to talk more about family and sex and life. And so I was like, absolutely, 100%, I'm on board. And then it all changed when Trump entered the race.
All that and more next week.
Behind the Table is produced by Nathan Getty and Summer Shake. Executive produced by Brian Tetta. Booking was overseen by Todd Polks. The executive producer of ABC Audio is Liz Alessi. Special thanks to Josh Cohan, Brenda Salinas Baker, Trevor Hastings, David Toledo, Elizabeth Russo, Lori Hogan, Stacia Dashishku, Molly Kessler, and Ashley Havens.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.